specifically the verse, "You have not because you ask not," from the book of James. We're going to bring some of our own life experience into this one, along with some scriptural citations. So stick around. I think you'll enjoy this one. And if you want to hear some more of these, some more devotional podcasts like this, like and subscribe.
Thin Line Believers is a Christ-based outreach for the men and women who walk the thin line between good and evil, order and chaos. Our motto is, our service for His glory. To the police officers, veterans, firefighters, corrections, paramedics, dispatchers, and whoever else may join us, we are so glad you're here.
In progress. Go ahead, Josiah.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are on the throne. Lord, that you've made this possible, that we can be here on this platform to give your name glory. Lord, it's not about any of us. It's about you. And Lord, you impacting the lives of those, Lord, on the front lines. And Lord, we have so many front lines. Lord, there's so many areas in which we're fighting daily. And God, sometimes we win them, and sometimes we lose. But I thank you, Lord, even in those moments, Lord, you reign, you rule, and you remain. And so, Father, would you go before us this day that you have ordained, and would you bless us and our listeners to the glory of your name? We give you, Jesus, all the glory, all the praise, and our lives. Amen.
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 Sometimes we win, sometimes we lose. I like that. Kind of reminds me of Joseph. I've been telling my kids the story of Joseph over several nights because there's just so much there. Just like how that one ends with what you intended for evil, God used for good. So,
amen.
Anyway, hey, welcome to Thin Line Believers Podcast. For now, anyway, you've got Adam, Josiah, and Mike. And Mike chose today's topic, so I'm going to let him dive into it.
Well, Adam and I were, I think, talking, and we're talking about asking and receiving. And sometimes we're not receiving because we're not asking. And so the verse that comes to mind is James 4:2, where it says, "You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain, you fight and you war, and you have not because you ask not." In verse 3, it says, "Ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your heart." And then in Matthew 7, verse 7, it says, "Ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall open unto you." And so I think sometimes, you know, the older we get, you know, when we were kids, we would ask. Maybe some kids don't. They're maybe a little bit more reluctant because they're shy. I remember growing up, I didn't have a problem asking for something. And I don't know if it's my personality or, you know, my nature. But I know, you know, we know people, we know individuals, you know, even kids, you know, those of us that have multiple kids, we have one or two that's not shy about asking for something. And we have that one or two that is reluctant, you know, and there is that notion of, well, I'm going to ask my sibling to ask mom or dad for something. And this is kind of a big topic, and hopefully it won't go too long. But I think a lot of times as believers, we don't have what we're asking for because we're not asking. And we're not asking possibly with the right heart. And that's where James says, "You ask amiss," as Adam's asking the Lord, "Lord, let this fly go away.
Oh my gosh. They're outsmarting me today.
Just got to ignore them.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just something, I guess it's a light topic, but it's also heavy. Because sometimes we ask flippantly in our head and our heart's not attached to it. Or we have those prayers, our hearts are in it, but our head's not attached to it, so to speak. And, you know, like there's a lot of us that can ask, and if we get an answer, we don't get hurt by it or we don't get offended by it. I know Josiah and I have talked about this a long time ago, and I don't think we have a problem, you know, asking our commanders, hey, can I get a new patrol vehicle or blah? And they say no, like, okay, cool. And you just move on, you know, but there are those people that ask, and when they ask, they get hurt because the answer is not what is given to them is satisfactory to them, you know? So they get hurt and they go, you know, on a spiral of their emotions. Like, I can't believe they didn't answer my, you know, give me my request. You know, like that saying, I wish I won the lottery, right? I wish I won the lottery. And then you ask the person, do you ever play? No. Well, then how are you going to win the lottery, right? You know, it's just like, and you and I were just talking right before we started recording this. You know, we are living this right now. You know, we met months ago asking the Lord to move in our lives. And God says, okay, and started making things move and shuffling things around. The three of us, you know, Steve's out there, we're praying for him. The four of us coming together for the Thin Line Believers podcast is an answer to prayer because we asked, you know, and I think those of us that are listening to this podcast, there is that notion, well, God doesn't answer our prayer. God doesn't answer my requests. And I think that's where we need to have more like a childlike faith when our kids are younger, you know, when they ask, hey, can I have an iPhone? No, you're too young. Following year, can I get a phone? No, you're too young. But as they get older, as they learn more, you know, maturity and responsibility, then there's that consideration. And I think that's also true of God for us. You know, when we ask God for something, question is, can God trust you with it, so to speak? Or, you know, and so that's where, you know, for me, I thought the topic would be good for us, because in asking, I think the Lord looks at our motive, right? I mean, you guys, we've all worked with people that ask for stuff that should not be getting, you know, their position of authority or given power, you know? And I mean, just look at our culture today. It's not we the people, it's we the government. And just looking at the news in New York, how they're mandating vaccine cards for gyms and restaurants. And that's not we the people, that's we the government. And we have to ask ourselves, when are we going to stand up? You know, when are we going to stand for righteousness and truth? And so I think, you know, James, knowing the heart of Jesus, we have not because we asked not, you know. And, you know, in the earlier parts of James, it talks about, you know, being a doer of the word. You know, if A-S-K, right? Jesus says ask, seek, and knock. Are we asking the Lord? Are we seeking the Lord? And are we knocking for those doors to be open? And Josiah and I know firsthand, I'm sure you do too, Adam, is once you start asking, God's going to say, are you ready for this? Mm-hmm. You know, are you ready? Because sometimes we ask and we're not prepared, you know? And right now the Olympic Games are going on. which they have face diapers still, but you know, there are those, you know, like when Simone Biles decided not to continue in the team event, that scattered all kinds of different thoughts and emotions, but the individuals needed to be prepared to step in to fulfill the role, because, you know, Suni Lee took gold all around and she stepped up her game, you know, and the thing was, they were there to embrace that. And I think sometimes we ask and we ask amiss because we're not ready. And maybe that's why the Lord delays his answer, you know, because if we're not seeking and we're not knocking for that opportunity, and the Lord sees us and, well, you're not ready for this opportunity. And that's where I believe, not only as believers in and out of uniform, you know, do we ask the Lord, like when we need equipment in our jobs, right? Because when it pertains to our jobs, we don't sometimes have a problem asking our upper command, hey, we need this. We need this and we need this. Because why? You almost died, or you almost got into an incident where, you know, departments that are needing body cams, we need this because of whatever. But then when it comes to asking the Lord for certain things, it's like, well, I don't know if the Lord's going to answer this. And so we don't even ask. I think we're more ready to ask our spouses or our kids or our bosses for things we know that we need. But yet when it comes to asking Jesus Christ, we're really reluctant and we're hesitant to ask him, you know? And how many times as fathers we're waiting for kids to ask us, right? We know what they want, but we're just waiting for them to ask. And I think that's the encouragement that I want to share with us, is God's waiting for us to ask. You know, my life verse, or the life verse for my wife and I, is Ephesians 3:20. That God can and will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us, you know? And that's my expectation when I, you know, ask for things of God. I want him to do above and beyond what I'm thinking or asking. But again, we got to ask. If we don't ask, you don't get. I'll hand it back to you guys.
It's pretty loaded, man. Yeah, there's a whole lot going on there. I mean, the Bible has a heck of a lot to say on this topic, right? I mean, Jesus says, ask anything in my name and it will be given to you. And that implies that it's within his will, his nature, his character. So it's, you know, when we come to the Lord and we ask for something in particular, you know, is it within the will of Jesus Christ? Is it within the will of our Father? I don't remember who said it. Was it Paul that said, with all prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto God, right? The Bible has a whole lot to say on faith. When you ask, you believe that it's, you know, that the Lord is going to, just like you said, do abundantly above and beyond what you could ask for. So there's a whole lot that we could talk about with this one. But I think, you know, at its basic level, our biggest problem is that we just don't ask. We look for other routes. We try to do it ourselves. You know, I go to work and I try to do everything in my own power because I'm not asking. And as our Father, which I love that Jesus is the one who introduces this concept to us of God being our Father in heaven. Our Father wants to know, and he wants to hear from us, even about the minutia of our days. And I have found that to be very accurate in my daily walk with him. He's concerned about the little things. And I find myself feeling like, well, am I wasting God's time because I can't find my keys? God, can you help me find my keys? Right. But it's not, it's a constant fellowship with the Father. And Jesus, when he died on the cross, the thing that he was most terrified of, it wasn't the pain. It wasn't the suffering. It was being out of fellowship with the Father. And I find it really weird that if I was in that situation personally, that wouldn't be what I would be fearing. The fear would be the pain and the suffering. So I think we have some realigning to do. And the more that we spend time in the Word, the more we realize that when we pray, there's a ton of power in that. I'm reminded of a story that John Corson, is a hypothetical, right? As far as asking in the name of Jesus, he said, if somebody showed up at his house, a random person showed up at his house, knocked on the door and said, you know, can I come in? Can I, you know, I need a place to stay. He may or may not let that person in, just depending on certain factors. But if that person showed up and said, oh, hey, I went to school with your son, with Peter John. He said, if I'm ever in the area, that I should stop by and that you would have a place for me to stay. That changes things significantly, right? Because they know the son. So if we come to the Father and we say, I know your son and I know his nature, and so this is what I'm asking for within that nature, then we're just more likely to get an answer, right? So that's my contribution for that one.
I find it very interesting in verse 3, it says, and in my version, it says, you ask and don't receive because you ask wrongly. And then this next verse, just to me, is the pivotal point. It says, so that you may spend it on your desires for pleasure. So from what's the foundation from which I'm asking? And when I ask these things, why am I asking? Right? Am I asking? Because this verse tells me that it's not so much that we're not asking, right? We're asking wrong. We're asking with the wrong heart. We're asking because I want Josiah to be better. I want Josiah to gain, nor right, you know, the position or the fame or the pleasure of whatever it is that I'm asking. But when I put it into perspective that I have been made for his good pleasure, to bring him glory, that I'm going to spend eternity when this life is over, that little dash is done, and Josiah's life here on earth has been complete, and God says, Josiah, come home. I mean, that begins life, right? And from that moment on, I am worshiping God and praising him for who he is. And so when I am asking things on this earth, why am I asking? Like, am I asking so that again, the Josiah can get the biggest house, the best car, the best clothes, the best paid position, or am I asking so that God will get the greatest glory in my life, right? And like a few months ago, like Mike mentioned, like we both were sitting down and it was about the same time that we started with Thin Line Believers. And both Mike and I were at a spot in our walks and in our lives and in our careers where we knew there was more, right? We were at a spot where we were saying, God desires more from our lives. Like we're doing good. We're talking about Christ. We're living for him, but there's more. And it's not so that Josiah and Mike could get all the, you know, limelight and the pleasure in it, but so that God would be glorified in it, right? So that God would be glorified to the fullest in our lives. And so we said, God, whatever you want to do with our heart's desire at this moment, go for it. And I don't know if we were ready, for what God's doing. And when we are, you know, at those levels of being able to just fully come out and tell you everything that's happening, we will. But God's in the works and God is moving, and it's for his good pleasure. It's to put God's name above, right? It's God's name and that banner over our lives that we say, look to him. I'm doing these things for God's glory. So Lord, would you open these doors, whatever doors might be in front of you, Lord, would you open these doors so that what you would be glorified, right? So that it's not about, oh God, would you, I really need that house, that bigger house, you know, with the pool in the backyard and the 3-car garage to fit all my toys. Like, do I need it so that I could say, look what I've got, right? Look at, I'm keeping up with the Joneses. Look at, you know, oh yeah. Like, I'm pull out my razor out of the back, out of my garage. I don't have a razor. But I could imagine if I had a 3-car garage, that's what I would have in it, right? But I fall into that. Like, I see what my neighbors have and I'm like, oh, but man, they have that, right? And then so it's that heart issue. I honestly think it's not about, you know, when we come to the will of God, like, what does God want to do in our lives? I honestly think it's as simple as, what are you going to do with the request that you're asking? Like, what are you going to do with it? So if you have a bigger house, what are you going to do with it? Like, is it going to be a place where people are going to gather and God's word is going to be talked about and lives are going to be changed? Then begin to move forward and begin to pray for it. But if it's going to be a house that's massive and it's all about me, what an empty house and a sad house, right? I would rather have the smallest house and it be filled with the glory of God than the biggest mansion that's empty. And I think that's what it comes down to, really, is where's your heart in your request that you're asking? I mean, over in Psalm 37, it says, verse 1, do not be agitated by evildoers. Do not envy those who do wrong. For why? They wither quickly like grass and wilt like tender green plants. And then the psalmist tells us, trust in the Lord and do what is good. Dwell in the land and live securely. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires, your heart's desires. Right? And so again, we can so often envy other people and their promotions, and they step over people and they just destroy lives. I'm not about that. And if that means that I never promote because I won't step over people, then I won't. Right. And then I'll take the low road, and I will support and educate and lift up and encourage those around me, because lives matter. Right. And lives matter that are dying and going to hell, and they need the love of Christ. And so again, I think it comes really back down to, where is our heart? Where's our desires? Are we asking for our own pleasure, or are we asking so that God is glorified?
Hey, Mike, this kind of reminds me of that message you shared here a couple weeks ago regarding Romans 12. Maybe kind of how to know if what you're asking is in line. Yeah, go for it. You know, if what you're asking is in line with the will of the Father, you know what I'm talking about?
Well, I mean, as Josiah was talking about the heart, you know, that there's that classic saying, the matter of the heart is the heart, you know, and I think, you know, Josiah touched upon a lot of things, and it's just a great reminder. Are the things that we're asking, is it heavenly minded or is it earthly minded? You know, and like right now I'm in the middle of selling a house and buying a house, and I'm trying to treat it as ministry, where I'm asking the Lord to bless the selling and both the buying, because it's ministry for me, you know, and to be able to use, you know, the future house as a ministry. And I think those that are listening, whenever you're listening, I think they're, you know, Adam referenced Romans 12. It says, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, you know, which is our reasonable service. And in the verse 2 of Romans 12, it talks about how it's, you know, the will of God. How can I ask in such a way that it's in line with the will of God? You know, and there's three things that I realize is, do you have a desire? Do you have a desire of God? Do you have a peace of God? And is there, you know, an open or closed door? And it's a good reminder to just kind of visit this again, because is my desire for what I'm wanting in line with what God's desire is? And I'm reminded of John chapter 8, where Jesus says, for I do always those things that please the Father. And so if that's the case, is what I'm asking pleasing to God because it's desirous of God? You know, basic questions like, hey, if I cheat on my wife, will that please God? No. Right? If I drink and drive, will that please God? Oh, no. You know, even if I go a little bit deeper, that might step on some people's toes that have a strong view of, you know, drinking. My question is, would you ever get into a plane where the pilot took one drink to wherever destination you're going? Answer would be no. Some might disagree, which is fine. But Paul says, if I'm going to eat or drink something that's going to make someone else stumble, then you better examine yourself, you know? And the heart of the issue is the heart. You know, even when we take communion, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 talks about not to take communion lightly. You know, that's when Paul talks about that people are still sick. And I think there's a lot of people that are asking, doing things not pleasing to the Lord, you know? And in that desire to asking God, is it pleasing to the Lord, you know? And I just recently gone through Pastor Chuck Smith's series on the Holy Spirit. And he's talking about living the life of the Spirit, and talks about how, you know, when he was part of the denominational church, every 2 years, he had 50 messages every 2 years. Once he comes to an end, he would ask for a transfer and go to another church. Well, when he landed in Orange County in Huntington Beach, he realized he liked surfing. And he was coming to the end of his 2 years, and he's just like, oh, what's going on? You know? And then he stumbled upon, you know, Haley Handbook on teaching through the Bible, and, you know, the birth of pretty much Calvary Chapel there in Costa Mesa. But he talks about how God uses the natural things that we do to do supernatural things. And sometimes the desires that we have in our hearts are given to us by God, our gifts and talents, and God uses them to glorify himself. It's a matter of now us realizing that and being able to say, wow, I like doing this. Therefore, God could do supernatural things in the things that you're doing. You know, and so that's something that I, you know, have to remind myself, remind others, like God uses our desires to fulfill his supernatural things. You know, if Pastor Chuck Smith didn't like surfing or not heeded to his desires to surf, who knows where Calvary Chapels would be if he didn't jump ship from the Four Square movement and, you know, started the Calvary Chapel movement. So God used Pastor Chuck's desire to surf to keep him in Orange County so that he could, you know, be close to surfing. And a lot of times God uses our natural desires to fulfill his accomplishments because it's pleasing to the Lord. So, you know, there's a desire of God, and then, you know, there is the peace of God. Is what I'm doing giving me peace in what I'm going to do? You know, you ask yourself, you know, do you have a do you have the peace of God to rob a bank? Maybe some crazy dudes, and they need to be locked up. But are there things that we're doing that's not giving us the peace? Well, then you got to go back to the, so to speak, the drawing board or the prayer board, and, you know, ask the Lord to filter that. Because if our desire doesn't give us the peace, then we need to go back to the drawing board and ask the Lord to give us peace. You know, are there times that we experience peace after we ask? Yes. You know, but that's a whole nother thing that we can delve into for a future podcast. And then the third thing is, you know, open door, closed door. You know, is the door open or is the door closed? Interesting, when I read through, you know, I'm still going through Revelation for my devotion, but, you know, when Jesus is standing at the door and knocking, you know, think about it. The door handle is where? On the inside, not on the outside. And I think sometimes we're asking for doors to open that the Lord's not really opening, you know, and we, you know, we push ourselves into situations just like, oops,
breach her up.
Yeah. Right? And I mean, like, think about it. How many times has law enforcement, fire guys go to the wrong door, right? And you kick a door open, you're just like, you tell dispatch, wrong door, wrong unit, you know? And there's countless incidences of that, right? Well, spiritually, if we kick open a door that God's not opening, we're going to ask ourselves for trouble. You know, like James says, we ask amiss, you know? And so I think it's a wise thing for us to ask in such a way that it's in line with God's desire. I've been watching some of the replay of some of the Olympic games. And, you know, one thing I like is the relays. And you could see how the relay teams, those that practice, they can reach back and they just time it so well, right? And it's going good. But the part is, the hard part is, you can't control, we can't control what the other members in the other lanes are going to do, right? Because, you know, the three of us plus Steve, whenever he joins us, right? We need to do what we need to do to constantly pass the baton, to encourage our team members, to encourage our coworkers, encourage our family members to trust in the Lord. But those that are in the other lanes from other countries that fall into our lane, that fall against, you know, I think that's going to be an issue. And so we have to be prepared for that. That's part of life, you know. When we're driving and someone decides to make a lane change in our lane and they don't look at our blind spot, well, we have to do some defensive driving, right? So I want to encourage us. We need to do what we need to do as believers. Be in the Word of God. We ask according to God's will. We seek His Word. And we're knocking, right? We've got the desire of God, the peace of God, and we're praying for open doors or closed doors. But then there is the attacks of the enemy, the fiery darts, right? The Olympic Games, it's a competition against other countries. And if it's a 4x100 race, well, we want to make sure that we're in order. And so, and that's where, you know, the encouragement is so huge for, you know, through the Word of God to us is, you know, in a sense, we're passing the baton, our experiences to younger believers, you know, younger members in uniform, you know. Adam, you and I both know when we started our careers in police and fire, there are some crusty old guys that, man, they need to retire or quit. But then there were some crusty old guys, you're like, I want to learn from this guy, you know, because he didn't get his knowledge an experience from the books. He got it from being on the streets. And you could tell who could be a good mentor. And any mentor that's going to be mentoring anybody, in my opinion, should be believers. You know, like Paul says, do as I do. You know, so we as believers, we ought to be ones not only living for the Lord, but living in whatever career that we're in as the example. You know, because why? Christians ought to be the hardest workers. You know, Christian should set a higher standard, you know. And I'll touch upon this real quick and I should keep my mouth shut. But looking at Rich Froning from CrossFit, he's a strong believer. He's got Galatians, I think, 6:19 tattooed on his arm, you know, but he's living both the physical, emotional, and mental lifestyle of the CrossFit games. You know, he's living out 1 Corinthians 6:19, where he says the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Not only is he living physically fit for the Lord, but he's also doing it spiritually. And I think we need to do that in all aspects, you know, in our career as police officers, as firefighters, as soldiers, as nurses, as fathers, as husbands. And so I'll keep my mouth shut now.
I think you did good. And honestly, I don't really have anything to add to that. I mean, we could go on and on and on about this topic, but I think, you know, the word says to meditate, that we're to meditate on the law, AKA the word. And so I think you shared something that we can really chew, meditate on. You know, what am I asking for? Is it in line with the will of Christ? Do I have a peace about it? Is there an open door? Right. So what things are you praying about? What am I praying about? And let's just chew on that for a bit. And I think I'll pray us out.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this meeting here today. Thank you that we could share your word, that we could talk about your word. And as iron sharpens iron, Lord, we pray that those who choose to listen to this podcast are sharpened and that they are encouraged to get into the word and to seek your will, Lord. And we ask that you'll bless them, keep them, make your face to shine upon them, turn your countenance toward them, and give them peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Guys, we're still on Instagram, still on Facebook, Thin Line Believers. We're on YouTube now, getting to be a little bit bigger of a presence on YouTube. If you didn't get a chance to listen or watch, you should check out our interview with Eddie Penny. It was a really good one. And check out eddiepenny.com. In the meantime, what do you got, Mike? Anything else?
Nothing. Hey, we're the Lord's coming is drawing near.
Yeah, it is.
Question, be ready. Are you ready?
Yeah, exactly. If you're not seeing everything line up, all the precursors that we see prior to the tribulation period, getting into Revelation chapter 6. Check it out. All right, guys. Take care. Send us an email, thinlinebelievers@gmail.com.